Hey everybody, it's Marcus here, and you are listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show. You're listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show, the definitive radio broadcast internet-wide on digital publishing, tablet and slate PCs, e-readers, e-books, and everything that falls in between. My name is Marcus. It's July the 7th, 2011, and the artist you just listened to was Taken by Trees, and it was a cover of one of my favorites, Sweet Child of Mine. Today in the show, we're going to take a look at some of Amazon's recent acquisitions. We're also going to talk about Overdrive and the rise and fall of Augin. To let you guys know, before we get into any of that, we're putting a spotlight on Android for the month of July. We're covering a series of stories. We've done three so far, and we have a lot in the works. Just to give you guys an idea on the whole essence of this, we know a lot of people purchased tablets in 2010, and in 2011, it's pretty well known as the year of the tablets. We were at Computex in Taipei, Taiwan earlier on last month. And if there was anything that we realized is that there's hardly any new e-readers being demonstrated, and there's a whole whack of tablets. So we're putting the spotlight on tablets, but more particularly applications for tablets. I'll tell you guys on the stories that we've written so far and what we're planning on doing. First of all, our most recent story was the top 5 best e-reader apps for Android tablets. Now, these are alternative, independently written apps, so we're not going to be talking about Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Kobo with this, but these are ebook reading applications that will give you the ability to load in your own books to your tablet. A lot of people download books from the internet, from websites such as Smashwords, Project Gutenberg, and a myriad of free sites. We also know that a lot of people like to shop at different ebook sites and then read them on their tablets. So we took a look at such favorites as FB Reader, Eldeco, we've covered Moon Plus Reader, as well as Cool Reader, and finally Mantano Reader. And in the articles that we wrote, we give you the pros and cons, the essence of the app, how we feel about it, as well as a final rating. We also took a look at, a few days prior to that, the top 5 best comic book applications for Android tablets. We took a look at Droid Comic Viewer, Comic Reader, Perfect Viewer, JJ Comics, and Comic Reader. So we took a look at pretty well the applications that were geared specifically for tablets. So this is the essence of our spotlight on Android, where we're looking at Android apps specifically written either for tablets or that really shine on tablets. There is so many different Android devices out there, mainly smartphones. But with dedicated tablets, you know, anywhere between 5 and 10 inches, a lot of tablets that were maybe designed for phones don't really look so good. So if you do have a tablet, you're thinking of getting one or even upgrading, you're going to love this spotlight on Android for the month of July. And our first article that we wrote were the top 5 Google Android app markets. There was a lot of tablets made in 2010 that actually don't have access to the official Google Android market. For whatever reason, they bundle their tablets with no way of you being able to get any apps. Penn Digital's guilty of this, so is Augin, so is companies like Alocity and a ton of others, including Colby, and the list just can go really on. So we put together this list as well as clickable links so you can download these apps directly to your tablet. We looked at AppBrain, the official Google Android market, Amazon App Store for Android, Pocket Gear, GetJar, and a few others. So if you do, you know, have a tablet, you're going to like this series. One of the things that we intend on doing in the next few days is putting up a series of videos that actually walk you through these applications step by step, give you the pros and cons, and put it in video form. So if you're not the linguistic type that like to read review type articles, we do have a number of videos that we will be uploading to our YouTube channel, so you can check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/user/goodereader, or again, you can check out our blog at goodereader.com/blog. One of the articles that we intend on doing within the next few days are cloud-based solutions for tablets. A lot of tablets, especially ones purchased in 2010, even in 2011, a lot of them are very expensive. If you look at 16 gigs, the 32 gigs, the 64 gigs, there's a huge price difference. Sometimes they leap between a few hundred, sometimes more. You can get an SD or micro SD to increase your device's memory, but a lot of people find that once you start loading an entire season's worth of videos, it quickly, you know, kills everything you have on your device and you can't really load anymore. There's a number of cloud-based solutions now that give you anywhere between 5 and 20 gigs or more of cloud-based storage. So as long as you have access to the internet, you can pull your content from there. So we're going to put the spotlight for this weekend on cloud-based solutions for tablets. So check it out, everybody. Let's get into some of the news. We're looking at OverDrive has announced a solution for libraries that will allow non-DRM free ebooks. So this is ebooks without digital rights management, and they have completed a successful beta testing period that we're working both with libraries and schools. So there's a lot of publishers that signed on for this. Many people may not be familiar with too many of them, but University Press of Colorado, Wildside Press, AMG, Bold Strokes Books, Books to Go Now, Karina Press, KBS, Joe Conrath, Guinean Informatics, Microsoft Press, O'Reilly Media, and a ton of others have all signed in with this, and this will allow all DRM-free ebooks are available under the one copy, one user model, which means that you can add a copy to your collection and one user at a time can borrow the title from the library. So basically, although they are DRM-free, that they only can lend one copy out at a time. So if you're a fan of OverDrive and their library lending, you might want to take a look at that. There was also some news that the Times of London, and this is the London Times, has actually 100,000 paid digital subscribers. So it's not too bad that digital publishing has... A lot of people weren't too sure about the whole paywall approach when subscribing to digital library content, but it kind of looks like it's catching on with 100,000 digital subscribers. You know, it's actually putting a little bit of money into the pockets of the, you know, the authors and the company, and, you know, it kind of keeps the whole ball rolling, at least for a little bit longer. We talked about before, and I kind of ranted and raved about this a few times, that when you buy a print book, wouldn't it be excellent if it came with a digital version? If you look at a lot of DVDs, Blu-rays, they always come with digital copies so you can play them, you know, on your computer. And there's a lot of other industries that kind of follow suit. If you buy it, they kind of give you other content that can be played on different devices. And I've kind of ranted and raved about this, but it looks like that Algonquin Books has actually is going to be bundling print books with ebooks. So this is basically an imprint of Workman Publishing, and it's offering customers a discount towards the purchase of an ebook for each of its trade paperbacks purchased at more than 300 Barnes & Noble locations through the month of July. When customers choose a paperback from a list of 12 different qualifying titles, they'll be given the opportunity to purchase any ebook from a list of 12 different titles at the reduced price of $3. Later this year, the publisher will begin offering a free digital copy of the same ebooks with the purchase of their hardcover edition from a wide variety of chains and independent bookstores, starting with the new release of When She Woke by Hillary Jordan. So it looks like for July, it's just a testing period at 300 locations at Barnes & Noble, that when you buy the paperback, you'll be able to buy the ebook for only $3, and then later on in the year, they'll actually give you the ebook for free. So it looks like a testing period that they're doing. So I really hope that it does work out, because how excellent would it be when in the future you buy a hardcover book and you actually get the ebook too? I'm the type of person that I love reading books. I probably buy as many tangible books as I do ebooks, mainly because I like the way, you know, having five or six big bookshelves in my room and living room and, you know, all over the house, just brimming with excellent titles. It's easier to lend friends when I have the digital or when I have the hardcover copy. But at the same time, I read a lot of pulpy, trashy fantasy and sci-fi with the digital form because, you know, let's face it, when I buy real books, I often buy books by authors I really like or more elevated type of reading. Whereas with ebooks, it's mainly trashy type books that I buy that I really wouldn't want to show off on my bookshelf anyways. In Amazon news, Amazon has acquired the Book Depository. So everyone's favorite online retail book giant just got a little bit bigger. They have purchased the British bookseller Book Depository, adding the site's 6 million titles to its own global market. Book Depository has had a partner selling relationship with Amazon.com going as far back as 2007, so they have, you know, some sort of relationship that this purchase was substantiated from. So Book Depository has been shipping books to over 100 countries, and so now that Amazon's enveloped them, they'll be able to have a wider reach in different foreign markets, and that's something that Amazon really hasn't had up until this point. If you live in a lot of small countries in Europe, Africa, and even like Russia, you'll know that it's virtually almost impossible to order things, you know, through Amazon. So it was kind of unknown about how much they paid actually for the whole deal to be done, but it is a done deal. So we should see. I mean, one of the big factors on the whole book depository is not only were they shipping to 100 countries, but they had free shipping of books within 48 hours. So it's not too bad. In other digital publishing news, Pearson Publishing has bought the Angus and Robinson and Borders websites. And this is in Australia. And this is a subject that we've really been following in the last 3 or 4 months. It all started with the virtual collapse in the U.S. market of Borders and the cutting back and everything like that. And that permeated into the land down under. And we saw that the Red Group, which is basically the overseer of Borders in Australia, they filed for receivership, and in turn, Angus and Robinson followed suit. So basically, all the Borders in Australia are nailed up. Everybody's gone, as well as Red Group is folding, and so is Angus and Robinson. It looks like, though, that Pearson Publishing, which is actually a division of Penguin Publishing in Australia, has purchased the websites for an undisclosed sum. What they're basically going to do is not rebrand it yet, but this is their strategy, that they will rebrand those websites in the future. But for now, you'll still be able to buy ebooks and digital content through the old Borders and Angus and Robinson banners. Really, what they're afraid of, and a lot of industry pundits are speculating, is that if you have Penguin Publishing, which is, you know, obviously the overseer parent company of the Pearson Publishing in Australia, a lot of people are saying that Penguin Books might receive preferential treatment for their digital versions, whether it's discount or whether, you know, on the front splash page it's more Penguin titles than maybe other companies. So it may, you know, try to hustle Penguin versions a little bit more. So a lot of people are speculating that that may be the case. They're saying, Pearson right now is saying, no, that's not the case. We're not going to give preferential treatment. But if I was in their position, it would be kind of hard to kind of be unbiased if you're representing a huge company. In other news, J.K. Rowling, who is the authoress responsible for the Harry Potter series, has fired her agent, and he's been the agent for almost 16 years. His name's Christopher Little, and Little came on board and helped bring the very first book of the Harry Potter series to fruition, and remained Rowling's book agent for all 7 books in the series, as well as the accessory book Tales of the Beetlebard. Little was really just blindsided by Rowling's decision, as he apparently helped her a great deal on the Pottermore project. Hopefully you guys now are familiar with the Pottermore project. If you're not, in essence, it's Rowling's attempt at bringing ebooks to the world. Right now, and for the longest time, there's been no legitimate way to actually buy the digital versions of the Harry Potter series. Many people have it, but they were forced to pirate it. You know, even if they had purchased the real book, if you wanted the digital book to buy on an e-reader, you pretty well had to pirate it because there was no way. Pottermore will be able to sell the e-books through her own site, so you won't be able to actually buy the e-books through Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and all the other sites. You just can't. You would have to buy it directly through Pottermore.com. Not only will the simple e-reader ebooks be available, but she's actually making enhanced books, and this will allow the reader to be a background character in the entire Harry Potter saga. You'll be able to follow the adventures on the map, be able to join a house a la the Sorting Hat, and be able to really participate in a story. Not so much as a choose-your-own-adventure style, but you'll be able to actually ride alongside the main characters. And this is really why it's taken almost 2 years for the first book to come out under the enhanced version, because there's just so much to it, right? Whereas if you just want the legit ebook version, this will be available soon. So stay tuned for that. But it, you know, if I was her agent and I was sacked, you know, for almost 15 years of work, and I made her a ton of money and I stood by her for everything, yeah, that would suck. So he has my heartfelt sympathy, but he's probably a very rich man. In other news, SoftLink and Overdrive have partnered for ebooks in Australia. So further Australia news, Overdrive is basically the library institution partner. They're in 13,000 libraries in the US. SoftLink is homegrown Australia-based, and they already have a content management system. With their partnership in Overdrive, it's going to really allow Overdrive to penetrate a foreign market for the first time, in that of Australia. And there's a lot of libraries, there's a lot of interest in entering that market, so we'll see how it goes there. There's also some news that I would like to regale you all with in terms of HarperCollins, and this is their I Can Read imprint, and this has gone the digital version. This is about 74 titles from 4 different series to launch, and they're going to do this digital collection over time. But this imprint has sold almost 140 million copies since it was launched in 1957, and it spans almost 400 titles. This is, you know, the Berenstain Bears and a ton of other, you know, mainstay children's book projects. You know, Berenstain Bears is probably the biggest one, but there's always, like, the Biscuit, the Lovable Puppy. There's all Fancy Nancy, Frog and the Toad, Marley, Mia, Mittens, Splat the Cat, My First, and a ton of other books. So if you have children and you used to buy these books through the Scholastic Fund or various agencies that would sell these books, you can now get the digital version. And this is going to be a part of Nook Kids for Barnes & Noble Nook Color. And it'll also be available through iTunes as well. So if you, again, have kids, you may want to stay close to that. We heard of a story today about Augin being officially disbanded. And their website apparently was not reachable for about a month. I've hated Augin, you know, pretty well since their inception with the Augin Gen Touch 78, which was on our 2010 list of the worst tablet of 2010. I will not regale you with the hardware semantics, but needless to say, think of the dirt worst tablet that you can imagine. It, you know, it didn't really ship with bandages and, you know, cracked screens or anything like that, although it should have, because it was garbage. Yeah, it was honestly the worst freaking tablet I've ever seen. It was slow. It was like, yeah, it was like a dim-witted, it was like a dim-witted stepchild that was like 30 years old, but with like a mind of like a one-year-old. But yeah, just the wiring was all off. It was abysmal. They recently launched Augin the Book, which was pretty well their most recent e-reader. And it did okay, but many people equated them as Kindle clones. But, you know, there was really no content distribution system. There was pretty well garbage technology. So I am not going to shed any tears. I'm not going to drop any beer on the ground for my lost homie, Augin. I'm not going to do any of that. I am going to stand on my soapbox and be very happy that Augin has finally bit the dust, that we're not going to be burdened with purchasing any more of their crappy e-readers. I'm not going to have to put up with emails from users saying, I just bought an Augin tablet. I just bought an Augin e-reader. How do I do this? How do I do that? And most of the time, I just say there's no hope. Take the tablet back and return it. No, I don't really do that, but I try and help anybody who sends me an email. But the spirit of it is that Augin is like the dirt worst, and I'm happy that they're gone. And there's many other companies that I would hope that would just disappear off the face of the earth forever. But if there was a first company on my list that would hope, I would hope that would just fall into a never-ending abyss, or would be a part of the never-ending story, but would just be like, would be just, if you've ever seen the movie The Never-Ending Story, you kind of know what I talk about, but it would just be like a tertiary background character that you would see, and you'd be like, ah, oh, get out of here! And so, yeah, Angen is gone forever, and that makes me hop up and down with glee, with much zeal. Finally, to wrap things up here on this edition of the Giddy Reader Radio Show, we're going to talk about Kobo, one of our favorite Canadian companies. It looks like they just opened up a small kiosk-type store at Grand Central Terminal, and this is at the Grey Bar Passage between Lexington Avenue, and this is in the New York area, and you can drop by, check out their e-readers, such as the Kobo Touch Edition. There's roughly about 4 or 5 staff members, you know, that will be there. Often up until now, they've just been relegated to being inside of stores, but it looks like they are spreading out and bringing the word of Kobo to the street. So if you live in New York, check it out and drop me a line if you get a chance to check it out, because I wouldn't mind hearing from you. You can, of course, email me at marcus@goodyreader.com. That's M-A-R-K-U-S at goodyreader.com. And with that, you've been listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show. Again, you can listen to us on iTunes, and don't forget to visit our blog at goodyreader.com/blog and our YouTube channel. We have currently over 200 plus videos, and these are previews, reviews, book ebook loading tutorials, and a whole lot more content. You can check out our youtube.com/user/goodyreader. And my name is Marcus, and everybody take care.